We have some other folks to talk with here, and we'll go back to the phones. Let's start. I think we'll start with line number one. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, I was trying to get the stolen recipe, and I was missed out here on the butter for sure.
Oh, dear. Somebody has taken that recipe away from me and was answering another call. I don't have that in front of me right now. It'll come back in a minute or two, and I will announce it before the end of the radio.
The butter and the flour amount.
All right. Well, I will just go through that one again when it comes back. I'll have to go ask for, because somebody just came in and took it away from me.
We had a call from somebody who was making a pledge and said, oh, yeah, by the way, could you tell me what the first ingredient was? And I'm sure that some of these recipes, as we do each... Oh, here it is. It's coming back.
Oh, I got it.
With some of these recipes, as we do every time Doyle's on, we'll have some of them printed up. So if people will write to us, we can send them out.
Now I can say this just like on the radio. This has just been handed to me. This was a stolen recipe from Dugan's Bakery. That's the one you meant, wasn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
2/3 of a cup of milk and 2/3 of a cup of sugar.
Have that.
And then 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, half cup butter plus 2 tablespoons.
Okay, that was what I didn't get.
A half a cup of butter plus 2 tablespoons, and then melt it. And then that can be various mixtures of things, but it would be milk. I mean, you could use margarine, and you wouldn't want to use lard, but could. And then the rest of it was yeast and eggs, and you have all that.
The flour. How much flour?
The flour is 3.5 cups of flour.
Okay, I have that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One other question I heard
yes.
you a month ago talking about the green tomato and pepper chutney.
Oh, yes.
And this lady said that she did not seal it.
That's right.
Because it eats the metal lid.
Well, it's not because it does. The actual reason that you do not seal it is because it doesn't need to be sealed. It uses materials that have become recognized as natural retardants to spoilage, which was vinegar and sugar.
Right.
And those two things, you don't have to seal the lids for that. What she did, though, was to put, I think, a piece of wax paper over the material and then put a lid on it.
Question whether you could put paper under it or
oh, yeah.
cover it with the paper.
Either one would be fine.
All right.
Either one. But if you don't do that, I will guarantee it will eat the lid off, and I don't pay attention to it sometimes, and lo and behold, the lid is gone after about 6 months.
Well, I guess I had sealed some. I had a recipe where it said to seal, but I guess we didn't keep it long enough.
Well, that is it, too. But
yeah.
It lasts quite a long time.
Right. Thank mm-hmm. you.
You bet.
Okay, very good. Now, I was going to make some of that. I brought in some green tomatoes, and we set them on the counter in the kitchen, and they turned red. I didn't get to it soon enough, so I never did get to try it.
You didn't get to try that.
Yeah, what may have to make some other chutney this fall. Okay, let's talk with somebody else. We'll go to line number two. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
The subject is oyster stew.
Oh, boy.
In my husband's family and mine, oyster stew was a tradition on Christmas Eve.
Now, that is a very interesting one. That's the same, I mean, the same thing happened in my family, and I cannot find out why we only ate oyster stew and only on Christmas Eve. But it is really, where are you all from?
I'm from Indiana, and my husband's from Missouri.
Well, my family was Missouri and Oklahoma.
Ah.
And that is the only time we had oysters.
Let me ask you this, Doyle. Why would you have oysters in the Midwest?
Who knows? That's what I've been trying to find out. But it was something that we never failed from as long as I can remember. And that was the only time. We would never have them any other way or any other time.
Mm-hmm.
Oyster stew on Christmas Eve.
Well, if you've priced oysters, you know why people have them only once a year.
Well, it's true now.
Yeah.
Well, give us your recipe. I would love it.
I don't really have a recipe. I just remember this as a tradition in my folks' house, and it was a looked forward to tradition. We have not especially continued that in our own family, but I always enjoyed it very much. I would, if I may, say something about Focus 580. I'd like to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always enjoy your programs, Doyle, and I even when the subject matter as announced at the beginning of the program, doesn't sound to me like I would be very interested. I find that 5 minutes in, I really don't want to turn to anything else. A certain subject matter like money just doesn't interest me, but I find when Marilyn Nichols is on, I find myself listening to her, and I'm sure learning some things. And that's true of many other programs. I wonder, David, are you interested in what people from your audience might have in the way of suggestions of people who perhaps have written something recently which would be interesting to a general audience?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, good. Well, I will get back in touch.
Okay.
And thank you, Doyle.
Thank
you. Neither one of us has the answer to why oyster stew is a big thing in the Midwest at Christmas time.
Well, it's real. Well, thank you very much for calling. You know,
bye-bye.
The program is made up of people. I mean, everyone says, well, what are you going to talk about today? And I say, I haven't the foggiest idea. It's what people will call in, we will talk about. And they don't realize that this thing is made up by folks who are making the program. I just sit here and listen.
Well, and you know, I think that's really true. That's true of the program all the time. When it always amazes me the kinds of really, really sharp things that people say. And that's what makes it this kind of program special, because people calling bring something to the show that something more than guest and I
can. Oh yes.
You know? So that's it's a great thing. It makes the program. The audience does. Absolutely.
100%. And gee, if they just send in some money, we would keep on going. Didn't expect that, did you?
I think I'll just go to the next caller. We have someone here on our toll free line. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. Can you hear me? I can barely hear you.
Oh, yes. We can
hear
you.
Yes.
And I'm sorry for calling back.
Well,
but
you
should.
Don't be sorry.
The lady about the green tomato chutney put two layers at least of wax paper across the jar.
Oh, two.
Tie it down.
Two layers of wax paper. Mm-hmm.
And she can freeze it if she wants to, if it lasts long enough. Around here, it doesn't last long
enough. Isn't that it? So, put double layers of wax paper then.
And put it in a cold. She's got a cold pantry. That's fine. If not, put it in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. We're safer. But
okay.
We just never had it last long enough to bother with.
Isn't that good? Well, thank you. I hadn't thought about whether one or two. I suppose I'd have probably put two on, because one would have broken and ripped. And I imagine two.
Also,
well,
I'm
thank
glad
you.
That you like the chili.
And what?
I'm glad that you like the chili.
Oh, was that your chili recipe?
Yes,
well, it was a blessing, and I thank you every time that I make it. And I made some a week and a half ago, and I said, at last. So I don't have to worry about how to make that correct chili. Well, thank you very much.
The lady that wanted the stolen... we're Scots. Oh, by the way, the oysters. We are from Missouri.
Yeah.
Oyster stew. And my family said it was because we were of Scots origin. That it's been handed down in the family. But like the lady said, they've gotten to be so expensive, it's disappeared off.
Yeah, but this was something that we did a long time ago. Well, I'm Celtic enough that probably that may have been part of the reason, too.
That's what my dad always said.
I see.
He said, we're Scots, so we have oyster stew at Christmas.
Well, that's a good start for a reason. We may find out some more folklore.
And we're from the Midwest, Missouri. We have a Scots recipe called steam cake. You make it in a small round pan, and it calls for real butter, but it's a very small amount of sugar, 1/3 of a cup, I believe.
Oh, seed cake, yes.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like the seed, but you can use something else. You can use sesame seed or nuts if you want to, instead of the caraway seed, and just be sure you chop that dried fruit real fine.
Seed cake.
But it's not sweet at all. In fact, it does not taste sweet to me at all. But that's made at Christmas time. And the lady that wanted the pumpkin bars.
Yes.
One other thing I make at Christmas time, but because you weren't covering cookies, I didn't say cookies. I make the filled cookies made with the dried fruits.
Oh, yes.
And I use a sugar cookie dough. But for what she wants, she can either make the individual covered cookies, like you use for the dried fruit bar.
Oh, yeah.
Or roll it out and put it in the small jelly roll pan and make the... Make your pumpkin like you make for pumpkin pie.
Yes.
And I to make it simplified, a lot of people are confused about spices. A teaspoon and a half of pumpkin pie spice is fine. Less for children, I think.
Of the ready mix, yeah.
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 Less for children.
Uh-huh.
Teaspoon, no more. Because children don't really care all that much about super spicy. Super sweet, but not.
Super sweet, but not super spicy, yes.
Cut back on the spice and then roll the other half to go out, put it over the top and crimp it down.
Sure, a filled cookie.
Yeah.
Oh, and a cookie. Well, good.
Well,
let's see.
You know, you have to cut the rounds. Bottom round is 3 inches. Bottom round is 1.5 inches. Top round is almost 3 inches.
So it overlaps.
Yeah.
And then fills up and puffs up.
Yeah, you put a spoonful of the fruit or whatever on the bottom cookie, and then you put the top on, seal it down, and put your steam holes in.
And that, well, that would be a very good one for her to make. And
yeah,
then she could still.
Yeah, but then you brush it with, let's see. I don't have it in front of me, so I'll have to guess. It's 1/2 cup of milk, a teaspoon of sugar, and a tablespoon of butter, and you warm that till the butter's melted. Keep stirring it with your pastry brush and brush it across the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then bake them. 350.
Well,
until
then I'm going to add some more to that, because if you got that little steam hole in the top, that'd make a mouth, and you put two eyes and a nose on it, and you got a pumpkin.
Sure.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
We appreciate the call. And let's see. We got a couple of other people here who are also waiting, and we'll go on and talk with them. And let's see. Line one will be our next caller. Hello.
Yeah, being decades older than all you people, probably you don't remember the time before mechanical refrigeration, and oysters were only available inland from the seacoast in months with R.
With R's, yes, that's right, isn't it?
So that would make it for the Christmas and New Year's holidays.
That'd make it pretty handy, yeah.
So that may have been a variable in there.
Well, I know, but you see, we only had them on the one night. We would only have the oyster stew on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, well, the only other big holiday in there is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah. And we, so, now, there's sometimes there was oyster dressing for Thanksgiving, but
yeah.
Oyster stew only once.
But it was only in the winter.
In the winter, yeah.
Oysters made it very far inland.
Well, that would certainly be a good part of the answer. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more inland than the middle of Missouri or Kansas, is there?
Nothing further away from anything.
Nothing. You're right. Well, thank you. That's a good that's a good thought.
Okay. We have another caller here. We'll go to line number two. Hello.
Hi. I have a little more to add to the oyster mystery.
Yes.
My family also only had oyster stew on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
That was the only time we ever had it.
Uh-huh.
We're very German, and we come from northern Illinois. So.
Well, it does add to the mystery. Well, you see, that's the other half of my Celtic background. Half is German and half is Irish.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't recall any discussion or anything, except it was only done then. And if it was so good, why didn't we have it more often?
Yeah.
And there was always kind of a, in my family, there was kind of a ritual. I mean, they discussed how they were going to do it and made sure that this was sort of practiced, and now make sure you do this, and the milk had to be just the right temperature, then the oysters went in just right, and they only were there for a certain period of time, and there was great discussion about all this all the time. So it really became a ritual that was sort of invented for that moment, because, well, you don't cook oysters too long or else they get tough, and
right.
So it had to be very special, and my father and mother were just in constant hovering, watching that pot and making sure it was just right, just the right amount of everything, and just the right moment to put it in. So
I remember the same sort of attachment to the process when I was a child.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, too, how very much my father loved it, and yet that was, again, the only time.
Only time, and would thrill to it. It was like, oh, this is just the most wonderful thing in the world.
Well, I didn't think it was very good when I was a kid.
365 days later, you can have it again.
Right.
Well, that does continue the mystery.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for the story. That, well, maybe it does come back to the answer being that if you did have it more often, it would become common, and that it wouldn't be special.
Well, there is that, but I think that there is a folkloristic, philosophical point of view as to why it is Christmas Eve. I can't imagine right now what it was. I know it was never discussed or promoted, there must be a reason why we would have it only at that point. I think that there's probably a leftover tradition from somewhere, and maybe we'll dig it out. We've got another half hour this morning. Maybe we'll find out the great oyster mystery.
Well, let's go on here to another mysterious caller.
Yes.
Line number three. Good morning.
Some more oyster talk.
Good.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yes.
German.
Yes.
Vintage, Northern Illinois.
Yes.
We always had escalloped oysters on the big family day gathering on Christmas.
On Christmas Day, scalloped oysters, yes.
Yes, and then it broached into the oyster stew the night before.
The night before was oyster stew and scalloped oysters, which might have been left over for a day.
Uh-huh. That's what I continue, because you're buying the oysters anyway.
Yes.
They seem to be reduced at this time. It's the only time you can afford them and splurge.
Maybe that's what...
It's a special treat, just like oranges.
Oh, yeah, yes, I remember
orange. An orange in our stocking?
Isn't that true?
Right.
And it was really hard to get it out of the toe, too. And listen, I go back far enough that I had those great big long brown stockings.
Yes, I wore those long brown ones.
And the orange is always at the toe.
Right, but anyway, also for the cook on Christmas Eve, you're bushed weeks and weeks of baking.
Well,
it's
yeah.
A nice, simple meal.
Maybe that's a part of it, too. And it's a simple meal and something special.
Right.
And that would be indeed it, because that would, but, well, good. There's another. Well,
my kids look forward to it, and we are also doing it now on Thanksgiving Eve.
Okay. Well, we're a little more affluent, and they're easier to get a hold of now.
Well, I don't fix them for Thanksgiving Day dinner.
Okay.
So we have them for Thanksgiving Eve.
And it's a very simple stew, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then we repeat on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.